Okay, good morning, Bruchim Abboim. Back after the break. Parshas Vayera, Mirtz Hashem, we'd like to discuss a topic that's so important in our Avodas Hashem that I think we'll be allowed to say that this is the most important topic. The Yesodos, it's the Yesod that really envelops, includes everything else. And it's the very important subject, or at least one Nakuda of the subject of the Inyan of Bitochin. Bitochin is a much spoken about subject. A lot of people don't know what Bitochin is, or how it's achieved, or what it does for a person. And therefore, certainly, al regel achas, one Friday morning, it's impossible to cover the whole inyan of bitochin. But certainly, we do want to address, in Mirtz Hashem this morning, one particular nekuda in the inyan of bitochin, which will help us understand, I hope, a lot about ourselves. But first, the parashas that we're learning at the moment. Because in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, as we know, the beginning of the end, the Geula begins in our Parsha, in Parshas Vayera, the Makos, and eventually in Parshas Boy, Makos Bechoirois and Geulas Mitzrayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, in this week's Parsha, he says, I've heard, V'gamani shomati, I've heard es na'akas b'nei Yisrael, I've heard the cries, I've heard the screams of Klal Yisrael, the fact that Mitzrayim are subjugating them, working them hard. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds three words. V'ezkoir es brisi, and I remember the bris, I remember the covenant. Which bris is being referred to? So Rashi explains that obviously this refers to the bris bein habesorim. After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised to Avraham Avinu that yes, there will be a golos, a difficult, a shvera golos. But he also promised there will be a geula. V'acharei chein, he says, v'gamis hagoy, the nation that oppressed you, don onoichi, I will judge them. And then you will leave Mitzrayim, Beruchush Godoil. So it's all been predicted, it's all been foreseen, it's all been promised in the Bris Bein Abesorim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the time has come. Vo'ezkoir es bris. Now it's important to know, the Bris Bein Abesorim, the Mefarshim explain, that even though it was a Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham Avinu, but Avraham Avinu passed that on. So he told his son, Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu told his son, Yaakov Avinu. So it's something that all the Avos knew about. And presumably they passed it on to their children. So it was something that Klal Yisrael were aware of. The Bris Bein Abesorim, which began with Avraham Avinu, but then was passed down, Midor Dor. So the question that we must ask, and this is how we're going to begin today, Mirtz Hashem, a very fundamental question. And it's a very simple question, and the simplest questions are sometimes the hardest to answer. Why was there a Bris Bein Abesorim? That's the question. Why must HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Avraham Avinu what's going to be in a few hundred years? For what purpose? For what te'eles? A prediction? Upcoming news? Upcoming events, you should know that your Einiklach in hundreds of years are going to go into Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually never said to Avraham Avinu it's going to be Mitzrayim. He just said, Be'eretz Asher Lo Elohem, in a foreign land. There's going to be a terrible Shibud. Okay. But there's also going to be a Geula. Okay. What's the purpose of the Bris Bein Abesorim? The Bris Bein Abesorim is one of the crucial and central parashios in Sefer Bereishis. We have to stop and think and ask, what was the purpose of the Bris Bein Abesorim? For what purpose? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Avraham Avinu And as mentioned, that was passed on to Yitzhak Avinu, to Yaakov Avinu. Why is it important that HaKadosh Baruch Hu predicted and promised there would be not just a Golus, but also a Geula? There's a bracha that we say every day of our lives, except for Shabbos. We all said it this morning, everybody's daven Shachris. If I were to ask you, which bracha in Shmoyne Esra deals with the subject of bitochin, which bracha would you say? It's not a trick question, it's not a remez, it's mentioned black and white. Sometimes we say brachas every single day of our lives, and we don't pay attention. There's a bracha that we talk about bitochin, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help in Avodas HaBitochin. Which bracha is that? Ala Tzadikim. Ala Tzadikim, that's the whole teichen of the bracha. Ala Tzadikim, Ala Chassidim, etc. And then we say those who are boitchim b'shimcha be'emes, who are boiteach, who trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu implicitly, and then how do we carry on? V'sein chalkeinu imohem loino. What does that mean, v'sein chalkeinu? Please, we're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu that our chelek, we should have a chelek with these people. We don't want just to be a spectator, an onlooker at other people who have bitochen. We want to have bitochen. The same chelkeinu, every single day, we have to be aware of what we're davening. We're davening for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please grant us yata deshmaya that we should be strong in our bitochen. How does the bracha finish? Baruch Ato Hashem. Mishon u'mivtoch latzadikim. What is the translation of the word mishon? What does it mean, mishon?
Support.
Shivtecha u'mishantecha. In Ivrit, lehisha'en means to lean on. Support. So mishon means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our support. So what does it mean, mivtach? Our security. Isn't that really the same thing twice? Can't be, because it's two different words. So what does it mean? We're saying this bracha every day of our lives. We have to understand. What are we saying? Baruch Ato Hashem, Mishon u'mivtach. What's a Mishon and what's a Mivtach? So I'd like to share with you the explanation of Rabbi Avrom ben Hagro. The Vilna Goyen had a son, Rabbi Avrom, and Rabbi Avrom ben Hagro explains, and we're going to try, Be'ezus Hashem, to explain the explanation given by Rabbi Avrom ben Hagro. Says Rabbi Avrom ben Hagro, a mivtach, from the word havtocha, there's a promise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu on occasion promises that there's going to be a Yeshua. This and this will happen. Says Rabbi Avrom, there's a mivtach latzadikim. There's an assurance, a promise, that there's going to be a Yeshua. V'nosan she'elosam. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes grants that request when? La'achar zman. Not immediately. A person is in difficulty. A person's going through a tragedy. A person's going through a struggle. And he needs a Yeshua. So there's a mivtach that will be'ezus Hashem arrive. When? Doesn't have to be this morning. La'achazman. Could be after some time. Koidem. What happens before then? Koidem yovoi she'elosom. Before that request is finally answered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives them a mishon, says the Rabbi Avrom ben Hagro. He gives them something to lean on, a support. The mishon is the stage before the mivtach. The mivtach is when the Yeshua will arrive. Mivtach. What does mivtach mean? I'm secure, I'm reliant that yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide, will send me my Yeshua. But the stage before then is the mishon. And he gives two examples. I'd like to read the words, because we're going to come back to these words, and I think these are really the critical words. He gives a mishon, Sheloi yoivdu bitchoinom boy, so that they shouldn't lose their bitochen. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the mishon, Sheloi yoivdu, so that they should not lose their bitochen. And he gives two examples. One example is, in fact, from our parasha. There's going to be a geula, and indeed there was. The geula of Mitzrayim did not come from one moment to the next. There was a shibud that lasted over 2 centuries, 210 years. Eventually, when the time comes, there's no immediate geula. What happens in our parasha? Parasha Zo'era is not the parasha of the geula. It's the parasha of the Eser Makos. The Eser Makos was not the geula. They were still languishing in Mitzrayim. Says Rav Avraham ben Agra, I will explain this in Mitz Hashem, before the geula, which is the Mivtach, that's the Haftacha, that's the Yeshua which is going to arrive, there's a mishon, there's a preliminary stage prior to that Mivtach. It's a mishon, it's a support. I will explain what that means. Another example. When else do we find the Klal Yisrael were in big trouble, big Yeshua, and that is, of course, the Nes of Purim. The Geula there also, like in Mitzrayim, did not come from out the blue, from 1 second to the next. Says Rav Avraham ben Agra, what happened? We all know the story. Haman has to parade Mordechai around the town, Kocha, Yeyase, etc., etc. That was not the Mivtach. At that point in the story, what happened to the decree and the Gezerah? Nothing. There's no Geula, there's no Yeshua yet. It's the mishon, it's the support prior to the Mivtach. Prior to the Mivtach. So I think this needs a lot of explanation. What does Rav Avraham ben Agra mean? What does that mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a Mivtach? But before that, there's a mishon, which, as you correctly pointed out, means it's a support, to lean. Why is that necessary? Why is that necessary? When the time comes for the Yeshua, then the Yeshua will come. Shalom al Yisrael. Why do we need that prior stage, the introductory stage of the mishon, before the Mivtach? So, lechoira, the explanation is as follows, and we're going to examine this in further depth, because as mentioned, these are Dvorim Yesoidim Mamish. Dvorim Yesoidim Mamish. Lechoira, what Rav Avraham ben Agra means is that when a person is going through a difficulty, a struggle, and the Yeshua hasn't arrived yet, what's the difficulty? What's the struggle before the Yeshua arrives? What could happen to that person? When a person is waiting for his Yeshua, or her Yeshua, and they're davening, and they're davening, and nothing seems to be moving forward, what's the danger? What might happen to that person? They give up. They give up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has clearly just abandoned me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a ray of light. Just as a reminder, don't give up, I'm with you. The Yeshua has not yet come because it's not yet the time. But that mishon is something for me to be supported by. I need something to lean on until the Yeshua arrives. Now let's bring an example from the Torah. Everybody here knows this example. Can anybody think what's a classic example of somebody who's going through a terrible struggle, a very dark chapter in his life, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him a ray of light, which L'chaira didn't help him at all, but encourages him. What would be an example?
Yosef.
Excellent. Yosef HaTzadik is B'choshech. Very difficult life, often from a young age, separated from his father. His brothers hate him. They want to kill him. He's now being sold as a slave. He's with Arabs. The whole world has shut down on him. Everything looks bleak and dark. And what does Rashi say? Famous Rashi. Arabs, normally, what do they have on their wagon? Unpleasant smelling items. But on this particular occasion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized that actually they should have besomim. And that's a special gift to tzaddikim. So we stop and think, what does this mean? What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to tell Yosef? Yes, you lost your mother. Yes, you've been separated from your father. Yes, you've been sold as an Evet. Yes, your brothers want to kill you. Yes, you may never see your family again, but the good news is there's a nice smell. How does that help his situation? What's the answer? It wasn't there to help his situation. It was there as, the way the Mirror Rosh Hashiva, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz writes it, it was a neshika. It's a kiss from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't give up. I'm with you. I'm with you. So why, if I'm really with you, has the Yeshua not yet come? Because the time has not yet come. But that's the mission before the Miftach. I need something to lean on. The person going through this struggle might crash, be Yush, and give up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, here, I'm holding you. I'm holding you. Here's a ray of light. Here's the besomim. Here is a miraculous gift. How does that improve my situation? It doesn't in any which way. But what does it serve as? As a neshika from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the mishon before the miftach. Somebody once came to the Radzina Rebbe, one of the big Hasidic Rebbes, the Radzina Rebbe. And he's waiting outside the Rebbe, outside his room, and his turn comes, and eventually he makes his way in. And he pours out his heart to the Rebbe. I have a shvera pekel. I've got a difficult pekel. Everybody has a pekel. You know what a pekel is? You speak Yiddish here? Everybody speaks Yiddish here? You know, there was a story I once heard in America by the Satmar Rebbe. There was an oifruf. An oifruf, they throw peklach. And the Rebbe saw there was one kid afterwards who was crying. So he called over his gabbai and said, could you just find out, why is that kid crying? So he did his inquiries, he came back to the Rebbe and he said, this little boy is crying because he doesn't have a pekel. Says the Rebbe, tell him, he'll have a pekel. Everybody has a pekel. So he comes to the Rebbe and he pulls out his heart and says, I've got this problem and this problem and this problem. And I'm begging the Rebbe for a bracha. So the Rebbe thought, and he said to him, I'm giving you a bracha, the Eibishter vet helfen. Kadosh Baruch Hu Yazor, Kadosh Baruch Hu will help. The Eibishter vet helfen. Okay, a wonderful bracha. He leaves the Rebbe's room, smiling from ear to ear. Outside the Rebbe's room was the gabbai of the Rebbe. And the Gabbai says to him, Nu, you got a bracha from the Rebbe? He said, yes, a wonderful bracha. What was the bracha? The Eibishter vet helfen. Kadosh Baruch Hu will help. So the Gabbai said, you better go straight back in and get another bracha. He says, why? I got a marvelous bracha, a wonderful bracha. This is the bracha that I was dreaming. The Rebbe guaranteed me. The Eibishter vet helfen. He said, no, go back into the Rebbe and ask him in Yiddish, Un vos ge zain biz de Rebbe vet help, biz de Eibishter vet helfen. What's going to be until HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps? You said HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. So what's going to be until HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps? So he went back into the Rebbe. And the Rebbe said, didn't I give you a bracha already? He said, you did. You gave me a bracha de Eibishter vet helfen. Un vos ge zain. What's going to be until HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps? So the Rebbe said, I give you a bracha. The Eibishter vet helfen, biz the Eibishter vet helfen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help until HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. What does that mean? It means, l'chayra, that you'll have a mission before a miktach. The question was a valid question. Vos geit zayin? What's going to be is the Eibishter that help him? What am I going to do until HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps me out? And the answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you until HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you. How so? He'll send you Besomim. How does that improve my situation? It doesn't. But it's a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. It's a kiss. It's a hug from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't give up. Don't think you've just fallen between the cracks and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgotten you. It's a ray of light. It's a mishon before the miftach. And l'chayra, that's what Rabbi Avraham ben Agra was saying. The Esem Makos in Mitzrayim, what did that do for Klal Yisrael? The answer is nothing. They're still in Mitzrayim. They're still avodim. They haven't yet been freed from Mitzrayim, says Rabbi Avraham ben Agra. The reason why they haven't been freed yet is because the time hasn't come. So the stage of Mivtach has not yet been arrived at. So Klal Yisrael are going to give up. So there's a mishon. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm giving something to you for you to lean on. Look at these nisim gluim. Look at these nisim. And as we know, each one of the makos wasn't just a punishment from Mitzrayim. It was a nes that Klal Yisrael did not suffer. The Mishnah calls them asara nisim. It was 10 miracles. What was the miracle? You have wild animals roaming Mitzrayim and nobody invaded Goshen. Dam, Sfardea, Kinim, one after another, each time was what? Another hug from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, another kiss from the Rabbeinu Shalom. How does that improve my situation? We're still in Mitzrayim, but it's the Mishon before the Miftach. It's something for me to lean on. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping before HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps. That lechoira is what Rabbi Avraham ben Agra means. However, I'd like to explain this in further depth. Because I think, yes, that is the pshat, but we have to understand it in further depth. And as I mentioned, these are now yesoidos gedoilim oid in bitachon. Chazal in many, many places tell us Klal Yisrael had a ticket out of Mitzrayim. What was their zechus to be freed from Mitzrayim? And the answer is one word, emuna. Azoi shteitin chazal, that's what it says in the Medrash. The Medrash says, Loi nigalu avoiseinu mimitzrayim, elo, bezechus ho emuna. Klal Yisrael, our forefathers, were only ever taken out of Mitzrayim, bezechus ho emuna. It's all about emuna. Bizchus ho emuna. Without emuna, they would have remained there, languishing in Mitzrayim forever. Why was that so important? Why indeed was that the ticket out of Mitzrayim? And this is really the yesod that I'd like to share with you today. And it's the yesod of the Mirah Mashkiach, Rabbi Yerucham Lebovitz, Zichet Tzadik Livracha. You've all heard of Rabbi Yerucham. Rabbi Yerucham was the Mashkiach initially when the Mir was back in Mir, and then in Shanghai. So Rabbi Yerucham now presents for us, as he himself calls it, an Ikar Godel. This is one of the greatest yesodos that one needs to know in our Avodas Hashem. These are not my words. This is the way that he describes it. And he addresses the question that we began today, and that is, what was the purpose of the Bris Bein Absorim? Why indeed did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Avram, who then passed it on to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov Avinu, there's going to be a Golos, there's going to be a Geula? What was the function? What was the purpose of the Bris Bein Absorim? So listen carefully, because every word over here is gold. Says Rabbi Yerucham, Zu Midas Hashem. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates. Lahavtiach. To make a promise. Ochein, however, Loi Lekayim. But not to fulfill the promise immediately. So he's mapping out the picture for us, Rabbi Yerucham, that this is the Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to promise, but not to present an immediate fulfillment of that promise. And this is the way, says Rabbi Yerucham, and he explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducted himself with the Aveis HaKadoshim. That's why the Bris Ben Absarim was a promise, but the promise did not happen immediately. Sheloi Ro'u, the Aveis never saw a Kiyum, they never saw a fulfillment, they never saw that promise came to fruition. Ki'im, the only thing they saw was Haftachos, promises. Lahavin, in order to understand the following, now you need to listen carefully and remember this Yesoid Ad Me'a Ve'esrim Shana. Says Rabbi Yerucham, Lemeidim Mizeh, we learn from this, Iker Godel, an enormous Yesoid B'Hanhogas Hashem Yisbarach. What indeed is the purpose? As we asked in the beginning, to make a promise which is anyway not going to be fulfilled immediately. In fact, it wasn't fulfilled in their lifetime at all. We learn from this, says Rabbi Yerucham, Iker Godel, a central Yesoid, and that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a promise. Do you know what the purpose of that promise is? In order to test the listener, the one to whom the promise was intended, to test him, be'emuna u'bitochein. Will indeed you have emuna and bitochein that the promise will indeed be fulfilled? Again, the purpose of the promise is in order to present a challenge. Will there be emuna that the promise will be fulfilled? Says Rabbi Yerucham, v'zeyesibah. And if there is emuna and bitochein, that will be the reason for the promise to be fulfilled. This is an incredible Yesoid of Rabbi Yerucham. Rabbi Yerucham is teaching us the following. These are dvarim amukim ma'oi. These are very, very deep and fundamental Yesoides. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a promise that there's going to be a Yeshua. Why? What's the purpose? And the answer is, for now, a test is presented. Will there be bitachin that this promise indeed will be fulfilled? Do you firmly believe and rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there will be a Yeshua? Because if you do, then there'll be a Yeshua. If you don't firmly believe there'll be a Yeshua, then there won't be a Yeshua. And then he writes the following words. I remember the first time I saw these words, I almost fell off my chair. Well, at least now I'm not sitting on a chair, so I can't fall off. But these words are mamish, you have to remember this forever. Ki midarke Hashem Yisborach. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates. Ki loy yitochein lo'odom. It is not possible for a person Lizkois to be zeicha b'shum davar. It's impossible to be zeicha to anything ki im acharei habitochein. Ki lo yitochein lo odom. It's impossible for a person to be zeicha to anything without bitochein. Do we now understand? Is it fair now to say that bitochein is the biggest Yesoid in Avodas Hashem? One cannot be zoicha to anything without prior having bitochin. And therefore, says Rabbi Yerucham, it was a tremendous chesed. You know what the chesed was? The chesed was HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises there's going to be a geula. So now you have what to be boiteach in. And if you have bitochen that there'll be a Yeshua, then indeed there could be a Yeshua. Because if you don't, and you don't believe with every fiber of your being that there can be a Yeshua, then indeed there won't be. Now we understand why Rabbi Yerucham called this an Iker Godel. We see bitochen is not just a nice midah. Some people think that bitochen is nice for a good fridge magnet, put it on your door, have bitochen, a cute story. We're seeing from Rabbi Yerucham that bitochen is the central pillar of Avodas Hashem. You cannot be zoicha to anything without bitochin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, he makes that avtocha to the Ovis. Now, the ball is in their court. If you only have bitochin that there'll be a Yeshua, then there could be a Yeshua. Because if you don't have bitochin in the Yeshua, then there won't be Geulas Mitzrayim. He writes there in conclusion that he heard from his Rebbe. His Rebbe was the Alter from Kelm. In last week's parasha, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go to Paroi and tell him the time has come. He has to release Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. What happened? He didn't go to Paroi. He first went to Klal Yisrael. And he performed the miracles. Remember the Nisim? A stick to a snake, the water into the blood, and it says there two words, Vayamein Ha'om. And the nation had emunah. So he tells Klal Yisrael, Moirai v'raboisai, it's looking good. I'm off now to Paroi to request that he releases us. So the altar from Kelm asked the phenomenal Kasha, why did he do so before he went to Paroi? Why lift up their hopes? I'm going now to Paroi and it's all going to be fine and dandy. Wouldn't you have thought the opposite way around is more advisable? He should first go to Paroi and then come to Klal Yisrael to report the good news. So the altar from Kelm said no, because it wouldn't work. Because to go to Paroi was a sakonas nefashos. We all know the Chazal, there were animals in the entrance of the palace. Anybody who comes anywhere near the palace, never mind near Paroi, could be consumed alive. Moshe Rabbeinu needed a tremendous Yeshua. So how do we know that he and Klal Yisrael will be zoicha to that Yeshua, even just to get to Paroi? And the answer is, Vayamein Ha'om. You have emunah that I can be successful with Paroi? Well, then I can be successful with Paroi. So there's no point going to Paroi and then planning on reporting it afterwards to Klal Yisrael, because there's no emunah. The Aleph base. What's Aleph base? Emunah bitochin. Aleph base. That really is the Aleph base. First, there has to be Emunah and bitochin. If the Eibishter said, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm to go to Paroi and there's going to be a Yeshua, believe, trust, rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what's going to happen. Because if you do, then it can happen. So we had to tell Klal Yisrael first. They had to have Emunah. This is an enormous yesod. This is an enormous yesod. Rabbi Ruchim is teaching us that one cannot be zeicha to anything without relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you didn't believe, if you didn't trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was going to be a Geulas Mitzrayim, then there won't be a Geulas Mitzrayim. If you have emunah, now we know what Chazal meant. Loi nigalu avoseinu. Again, that medrash we quoted before. Klal Yisrael were only ever redeemed bizchus ho'emunah. Why is it bizchus ho'emunah? Because it's a big mitzvah? No! Because if you don't have emunah in the geula, then there won't be a geula. Then there won't be a geula. You know, the Chovos Halvavos, his famous sefer, the Chovos Halvavos, he has 10 chapters, one of them is on Bitochin. Reb Chaim Briske once said that our Shulchan Aruch on Hilchas Bitochin is the Chovos Halvavos. So if you haven't learned it till now, I advise you to learn it. Shar Bitochin. How many times? 1,000 times. And when you finish that, another 1,000. The Chovos Halvavos, right in the introduction to Shar Bitochin, writes, if somebody is not boiteach b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's boiteach on a different force, some people are boiteach on their local politician, some people are boiteach on their lawyer, some people are boiteach on their doctor, and he writes the Chovos Halvavos, some people are boiteach on themselves. I'm fine. I'm so powerful. I'm so smart. I'm so wealthy that I'm safe. You know, the Miri Rosh Hashiva, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, once went to the United States on a fundraising mission to the yeshiva, a serious nefesh, and he said to a particular wealthy individual, you know, we need a big donation for you from the yeshiva, and he didn't want to comply. He didn't want to donate to the yeshiva. So the Rosh Hashiva said to him, my dear friend, Rosh Baruch Hu has blessed you with money, then that's the purpose. That's why he gave you the money, in order to support Moses of Torah. And if you don't, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could take it away from you in a second. You know what he told the Rosh Hashiva? He said, my dear Rosh Hashiva, you might be good at running yeshiva. I understand money. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot take my money away from you in a second. Can you say such a thing? He says, Kvod Rosh Hashiva, I have money invested everywhere. In banks in Switzerland, in buildings in Manhattan, in companies in England, in China, all around the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't make that disappear in a second. There's no way HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take all my money from me in a second. Said the Rosh Hashiva, Shoyte Shaba'olam, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't take all your money away from you in a second, he can take you away from your money. So you might wake up tomorrow morning dead. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't take away your money, he can take you away from the money. This person was beteach in his money. I'm secure. I'm calm. I've got money invested everywhere. Says the Chavos Halvavos, if that's the life you lead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meisir Hashkochosai, he removes his Hashkoch. And he says, whatever you want to rely on, that's fine by me, says the Chavos Halvavos. And now that item or person will run your life. It's not an oynish, it's not a punishment. You don't want to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bevakasha, that's fine with me. Do you know what a classic example is? On his level, we're talking about Gedolei Le'olam. Yosef HaTzadik relied on the Saramashkim. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Ah, you're relying on the Saramashkim? Okay, I back out. So now, will Yosef or won't Yosef be released from prison? Who dictates that? Saramashkim. And if you forget, then you languish, you're stuck. Why? Because you chose to be Boiteach in something else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meisir Hashkachos. It's not a punishment. You want to be Boiteach in yourself? You want to be Boiteach in your money? You want to be Boiteach in the Saramashkim? Bevakasha. Then that's what dictates your life. Well, then there won't be a Yeshua. If you're relying on the Saramashkim to get you out of jail, you're very stuck. But if you're Boiteach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then there can be a Yeshua. Because if you're not Boiteach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then there won't be a Yeshua. This is the Yesod that we're learning. And therefore, if we come back now to Avraham ben Arambam, Avraham ben Arambam said that what's the mishon before the miftach, the ten makos before the geula, the Haman and Mordechai story before the geula. So he said, what is the purpose of that? The support before the Yeshua. So we explained it's like the besomim of Yosef HaTzadik. Do we all now understand the oimek of it? Do we all now understand what the besomim is all about? The besomim is not just a ray of hope. It's not just a friendly reminder from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't give up, feel good. There's a tremendous depth to it. What is it in fact saying? Yosef, if you give up and you don't believe there'll be a Yeshua, then what? Well, then there won't be a Yeshua. So why am I sending besomim? Not just as a friendly hug. I'm sending besomim to be mechazik your bitachayim. Because if you give up in the Yeshua, then there won't be a Yeshua. That's what the Mira Rosh Hashiva meant when he said it's a kiss from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not just to have a nice feeling, but rather it's a kiss as a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still with you. Make sure you're with him. Because if you don't, and you give up, and you don't believe there will be a Yeshua, then indeed there won't be. That's the oimek. That's the oimek. And that now we understand is a whole different look at the Eser Makos. The Eser Makos, as Avraham ben Agro said, is the mishon before the miftach. Klal Yisrael are languishing in Mitzrayim, decade after decade after decade, and it looks so bleak. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my dear children, the time for the geula, for the miftach, has not yet arrived. But don't give up, because if you do give up, and you don't firmly believe that what? That there will be a Yeshua and a Gulas Mitzrayim, well, then there won't be a Gulas Mitzrayim. That was the whole purpose in the Bris Ben Absarim. The whole purpose of the Bris Ben Absarim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them there's going to be a Golos, but there's going to be a Geula. Believe in it. Trust me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there will be a Geula, because if you don't, well, indeed there won't be a Geula. And the same in the Purim story. What a Klal Yisrael gain, the fact that Haman parades Mordechai around the town. It's a very nice, funny, entertaining story. No, says Rav Ram ben Arambam. That's our chizuk in Bitochen. And if you remember, we read out those words. The words of Rav Ram ben Agro was, he gives you a mishon shelo yoivdu bitchoinom, so that they shouldn't lose their Bitochen. It's not just a hug and a kiss, a nice feeling. Klal Yisrael, it looks so dark. How many times is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name mentioned in the Megillah? Not once. So it looks so bleak. It looks like Anoichi Haster, Megillas Esther. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden. There's a big Zera. It looks so dark and bleak. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to send you a Nes. How does that improve our situation? It doesn't. But that's the Mishon before the Miftach. If it's dark now, La Yehudim Hoiso Oiro. There's going to be light. But you have to believe that there's going to be light. And I think, therefore, that's really what the Rebbe was saying. When the Rebbe gave a bracha and said, yes, the Eibishter will help and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. But what's going to happen until HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help? So I give you a bracha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help until HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. Do you know what that really means? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send you besomim, even if Yeshua hasn't yet come, because it's not yet the time. Just make sure you hold on and you smell those besomim and you b'teach that there'll be a Yeshua. So what a tremendous yesod we're learning. What a tremendous yesod we're learning, because this is relevant to every person who needs a Yeshua. Nobody in this room needs to raise their hand, because if I were to ask you who in this room needs a Yeshua, the answer is every single person. Everyone needs Yeshua. You all need Yeshua. Mitz Hashem, you should find your zivug. B'shot teivul mutzlachas zivug hogin. You need a Yeshua. And after you get married, you need a Yeshua. Then Mitz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send you siyata d'shmai and shalom bayis, and you should be zoicha to children, and there should be tamidei chachomim and parnosa. And we all need Yeshuas the whole time. And sometimes we don't see the Yeshua happening. And sometimes maybe we're a little bit afraid to ask that question, but what's happened to me? Why has HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgotten me? I've done so many times. Where's my zivug? Where's my nachas? Where's my parnasa? Where's my health? And the Yitzhar is rubbing his hands with glee. He wants us to feel that way. Do you know why he wants us to feel that way? Because he wants us to give up and lose our bitachin. And if we lose our bitachin, then there won't be a Yeshua. So when we daven every single day, the same chalkeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to have my chalek with the Baalei Bitochen. Do you know what I'm really davening for? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, send me besamim. Just show me that you're with me. Show me that you're with me. So that I can hold on tight, and I cannot lose my bitochen. And I can firmly rely and believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send me the Yeshua in the right time. Because if I believe it can happen, then it can happen. You know, I very often have to sit with couples who are struggling all different types of nisyanus. You're all young. And I'd love to wish you that you're going to have the easiest life with not a struggle ever until you're Me'ever Esrim Shana. But I can't. Nobody can, because nobody lives that type of life. We all have nisyanus. And I very often tell people, you know something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending you besomim. Just don't forget to smell them. Just don't forget to smell them. Yes, everything looks so bleak and dark, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending you. Open your eyes! You have a husband, you have a wife, you have children, you have parnasa. It's true, there are areas in your life that are difficult. But remind yourselves of those besomim and be strengthened in your bitochen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can send you your Yeshua, because then there can be a Yeshua. Let me just finish with a very moving, precious story to me that I heard from the Baal HaMaisa, Reb Shmuel Shtimla, Zecheinu Levracha. Reb Shmuel Shtimla, a Tayir Yid, originally from Poland, was in the death camps in the Second World War, survived, moved to the United States, was Zecha to a beautiful family. He then moved to Ramat Beit Shemesh, where I live, Ramat Beit Shemesh Aleph. We davened in the same shul, and a few years ago he passed away. One Tisha B'Av morning, after the kinnis, they asked him to speak about his war experiences. When he finished, I don't know why he didn't say this story, but he told me the following story. I went up to him and said, Yashar Koach, Reb Shmuel, it's so moving, such a chizuk, your emunah, your bitachin. He said, I'll tell you what once happened to me. He said, long before I got to the death camps, I was taken away from my family, dragged out of my home, and I couldn't take anything with me, except for three things, he told me. A few coins, a few family pictures. I just wanted to remind myself what my parents, what my siblings look like, whoever said I'll see them again, and my tefillin. Three precious items, money, photos, and tefillin. And I put on those tefillin every single day. Eventually he got to the camp, as far as I remember it was Bergen-Belsen, and he said there they took everything away from me. My money, my family photos, and most painful of all, they took away my tefillin. So for the first time since I was bar mitzvah, I wasn't going to be able to put on tefillin. I was broken hearted. They even took away my clothes, and they gave me that famous striped jacket and the pants. I put those on, he said, which itself was very moving, because I knew, he said, I wasn't the first person to be wearing these clothes. Whoever had been wearing them until now was in Gan Eden. And he told me, he said, I put on that jacket, and as I put on the jacket, I felt something hard in the pocket. I didn't dare put my hand in, I didn't want to be caught by the guards, but I went to a quiet corner, and I put my hand in the pocket and took out the tefillin shel rosh. The tefillin shel rosh, worn by somebody who was together with the Rabbeinu Shloimeh now. He said to me with a smile on his face, there was a whole big shaila in the camp there. Big machlekes, which bracha do I make? Only had a tefillin shel rosh, not a tefillin shel yad. But in Bergen-Belsen, Gehenom on earth, Choshech mamish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him some besomim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him besomim. You'll be able to put on tefillin every single day, under the eyes of the Nazi guards. And that kept him strong, he told me. That was his besomim. The miftach didn't arrive. He endured terrible suffering and torture, b'chulei. But he had bitochen because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him besomim. There was the mishon before the miftach. The Eibishter vet helfen, biz the Eibishter vet helfen. But you have to smell those besomim. Because as Yerucham said, lo yitochen, it's impossible to be zeicher to anything without bitochen. And therefore, as you now build your lives, and Be'ezus Hashem, each one of you, abayis nemun b'Yisrael, and the inevitability of challenges, of difficult periods in our life, when sometimes you might feel, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu with me? We have to open our eyes and smell those besomim, and hold on tight, and feel that neshika from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that mishon, that's my support. Because even if the Yeshua hasn't yet arrived, but if I have bitochen that it will arrive, then Be'ezus Hashem, it will arrive.